This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Well, the world in the Brian Koberger case has dramatically changed recently with the revelation that he bought the knife and the sheep. And a sharpener, too, which surprisingly looks a lot like a vacuum attachment, which plays into one of the roommates saying it looks like he has a vacuum attachment. He even, I guess, allegedly, we can say, brought the sharpener to the scene, which I find to be rather bizarre as well. And then he takes this photo. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Go press subscribe there. As soon as you're done listening to this, amazing content. Bob, what's your reaction to this? Because I know we've been saying for a long time, at least I've been saying, if we get the receipt that he bought the damn knife, it's game over. Are we there?
I mean, I've been saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everyone who pegs me is everybody's innocent guy, which obviously couldn't be further from the truth. But I felt from the time that they dropped that probable cause affidavit that thing lead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously everything's pending trial, right?
Sure. I
mean, it is always the case. No one should be forming final decisions in terms of a case until we've had trial.
Yep.
But before we get to question T, I wanna actually give a tip of the hat to Judge Hippler,
mm-hmm.
because it was his order about 2 weeks ago, wherein he said, look, I'm over everybody filing everything sealed.
Yep.
That is supposed to be the exception, not the norm, mm-hmm. in this country. People deserve, we have a right to know what's going on in our courts in this country. So huge tip of the hat to him.
Yes.
Because that order changed everything in terms of what we've been learning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make no mistake about it. That order doesn't exist. Everything's still being filed under seal. We still know very little about this case.
Yep.
So, well done, Judge Hippler. I'm a huge fan of that order. For every judge in this country, they should plaster it on their walls and live by it, because that's what our Constitution calls for. All right.
I agree.
Soapbox there. So as far as damning shit, man, I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was like we've talked over and over down the sheath. If we see this kind of linchpin evidence that he in fact made the purchase of the weapon and the sheath, in my estimation, it's game over.
Yeah.
So now, like, we had an interesting conversation with Andrea Parker. She's a defense attorney. She's more dug in on like really kind of thing that maybe I think the needle probably moved a bit for her recently, but she reads that as not being as definitive as we have the actual proof that he did it. She's reading that as they've got to take a few strong circumstantial steps, but circumstantial steps nonetheless, to get him to that purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So I that'll be something that we'll have to see at trial, exactly what they have. I read it the same way that you did, Tony.
Yeah.
I read it, the purchase happened between March 10th and 20th. And then Allie and Andrea are like, okay, well, why the gap? Like, if you know when he bought it, why is there a gap? Now, that could be he bought the knife at one time. He bought the sharpener at a different time. He bought the vacuum hose. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we still have to speculate as to what all it means. But, like, I mean, certainly if there's a time frame in terms of the weapon being purchased in March of 2022, you know, that's obviously months and months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to have to look at what that time gap means. Does that mean that they don't have an actual purchase from him? Or are they going to have to say, okay, this was an account, much like our family uses one Amazon Prime account. My 30-year-old daughter still uses our Amazon. You know, if there's multiple people in there. All that being said, if he doesn't have an answer or where the hell that thing went, he's done.
Yeah. Well, and let me ask you, because I found this to be a bit interesting. He bought the sheath while he was in, while he was out in Pennsylvania. This is before he's there, technically. So he may not have even known these people at this point in time yet, or had any inkling about them. So I think there may be difficulty to show some sort of intent of like, well, how would he buy this intending to kill these people that he didn't even know existed? I don't know that that's important at the end of the day. I think, he has the knife. It's part of his toolkit. It's his resources. So if he decides to go do this, he already has the knife. And the fact that he owns the knife is the linchpin, and that's the key part of it. But does it matter that it the knife, the murder weapon, was allegedly bought almost like half a year before this crime even took place?
No. I mean, I don't take this as a John Hinckley, Jodie Foster type thing. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go shoot the president because I love Jodie Foster and I want her to love me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that he had an idea that he was moving towards doing something like this. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that he had to have anybody specific in mind until he did.
Yeah.
And when he got out there, he probably laid eyes on Kaylee somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she became the target.
Yeah.
I think based on what we've heard, it's starting to say, if we're to believe her father, Steve, which I have no reason not to, mm-hmm. I know he's emotional.
Yeah.
I don't sweat him on that. I would be too.
Sure.
I'd be out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
If somebody did this to my kid. So I don't critique him at all.
No.
In any way, shape or form, because that's how a parent should feel.
Yeah.
So in terms of, just like kind of this concept that the defense might try to untether that knife to them because of the purchase price being so far in advance, I don't think that that concept, if the defense tries to run up the flagpole or resonate with the jury,
mm-hmm.
I think that they're just going to think that this guy was just a guy that was building up to this, that this was something that was percolating and that ultimately... unfortunately and sadly, one or multiple of the girls caught his eye and became his target, we're going to see it all in terms of and the really interesting thing is this concept. I was on with Anjanette Levy, and we had her on our channel the other night.
Yeah.
And she was going through, she had died because she's really great at digging. And so she was digging through a lot of the evidence that's going to be tendered at trial and was looking at transaction reports and videos from this strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it seems to match up with the day that Brian Koberger got that ticket in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were pulling all this information from all these different businesses in that strip mall from the day he got that ticket, including the girls' banking records. So it looks to me what they're going to be trying to do is they're going to establish the day that he may have laid eyes on one or more of the girls.
Okay.
And then from that day forward. So. And wasn't he in his second year? Was that his first semester at Washington State?
I do not know the answer to that question.
No, I think he was. I think he had been there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, but we won't have to guess when we get to trial.
No,
we're not going to have to guess about that. They will lay out a timeline. It is going to be a unbelievably difficult task for the defense to be able to explain that purchase away, if in fact they can prove it.
Well,
and it sounds like they can.
Yeah, it sounds very clear that they can. Let's talk about the picture for a second. We got it up here. This is the thumbs up with a thumb that looks like it's seen some friction in recent moments. If you really zoom in on the thumb, it's a little, there's something going on there. Number one,
that could just be some confirmation bias shit.
It could be.
We are.
I mean,
we're all looking at that picture because, you cannot help but look at that picture with the thought in mind that, okay, we know what you just did.
Within hours of this picture.
Yeah.
Like literally within like 5 hours of this, like picture of when it would have taken place. And he's all cleaned up. He's in the whole damn thing is weird. Number one, he's taking a picture in front of his shower. There doesn't appear to be a curtain, or it may just be pulled over. Who knows? But he's doing the thumbs up. It's like, why? What is this? This is, you said off the air earlier, this is a definition of a ghoul. If this is the guy who did this and he's doing is this his souvenir, or is this like a bat signal to the other incels out there of, look, mission accomplished, or something like that? Because we don't know his digital history yet either, that footprint. I would not be surprised if we're going to find out he was in some sort of groups out there that are incels, and this is like a, hey, you know, I got one for the team, or whatever the hell they think.
Yeah, it's like all of that is going to make its way out there. Like, I'll be curious to know whether or not if that was a posted pic.
Yeah.
Because that'll go a long way towards answering the question, was this a souvenir? It's like that's something he kept for private stock,
yeah,
so that when he looks at it every time, he's able to bring himself back to the moments of time that preceded it mere few hours later. Or if, like you said, that's some kind of bizarro world, sicko, incel, like, yeah. Hey,
yeah,
got one. Whatever. It's like, it's such a disturbing picture from the perspective that he did it. Now, if it turns out that he didn't do it,
then it's just a normal kind of weird, why are you taking a thumbs up selfie in front of your shower? But, you know, he's kind of a weird guy.
Whatever, yeah. 9 a.m, looking pasty as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, his coloring is one of the most haunting things to me about that entire picture.
Like, he's the color of the tile.
He does. He looks like devoid of blood. He looks like he looks vampirish to me. It's weird. Yeah. It's really a unsettling picture in a lot of different ways, primarily because we know what happened in that house, and it appears they have really, really strong evidence.
I think if anything gets him the firing squad, it's this picture. Because if you're sitting there and you find him guilty and you're on that jury, and you know it's a death panel jury, so they have to be okay, you know, and not opposed to it. If you need that little push to put you over the edge to go, yeah, this guy should die, that does it.
Yeah. Now remember, with the death penalty being the firing squad, they have to not be able to have access to what they need for...
Yeah, for the lethal, yes.
So they have to be missing ingredients. But they're hard to get.
Yeah. Well, so, either way, it's like, if anything gets him killed, that's it. This picture is the linchpin that goes, this is a soulless bastard. if it's him.
All right. So here's a ponderable to you, my friend.
Yeah.
So if it turns out they can't come up with the magic elixir for the lethal injection, and they decide they're going to firing squad him, do you think it's going to be streamed? Before you just, like, Allison looked at me like I'm crazy. She does not understand the world we're getting to, like, which surprises me.
I don't think
I think there would be a large segment of society.
I'd pay it.
It's part of the process.
I don't think there's the legal structure for that to ever happen yet. Could we get there? Yeah, I think we could get there. I think
what's the legal structure stopping it?
Well, I don't know. I would assume that there's something of, you can't like live broadcast this. I mean, I know like they'll do, you know, like the closed circuit for the families or whatever, if they want to, those who are very much affected, the victims of this case. But I mean, is there any structure stopping it? Maybe there isn't. I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, other than like FCC regulations, obviously, like
you make it
ABC, NBC, CBS isn't going to broadcast, but we ain't that world anymore.
No, you could stream it. You could pay-per-view it. You could HBO it. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do.
That's what I'm trying. And look, I'm suggesting it because I know at first blush, it seems outrageous. But when you kind of look at where we came from as a country, where we used to hang people in the center square, and
I know
there's a lot of aspects of what's going on in our country now that seem to be trending back towards.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past it being a discussion somewhere because of the interest in the case,
because
of the fact of the volume of victims.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, it's not a crazy thought.
Kind of it's an interesting
It just seems crazy to us because we've been brought up in a somewhat civil society, you know, but if you go back a good 80 or so years, which in the big picture is not that long. They were doing that sort of, they didn't have streaming, but it was a town square. It was people were doing this.
That was the equivalent of streaming in the 1890s, man.
Yeah.
It was like,
Yeah,
I mean, I think that there would be, the ACLU would obviously make a big push, you know, and look, it's bad form.
It is. I mean, I hope we don't get there, but
I hope we don't either. But and I don't want people to confuse what I'm saying is that I'm a proponent of it because I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm anti-death penalty. I think there's no worse punishment than somebody being held in a cage for the entirety of their life. Ripped away from every single thing that is a creature comfort that all the things we take for granted throughout the course of our day. That's all gone.
Yeah.
You're living in a fucking box. I don't get, you know, it matters not that you get to watch TV for an hour a day outside and play checkers with other inmates. Everything that makes life worth living is lost.
Yeah.
And when you have to do that for the entirety of your life, you want to really punish somebody. That's how you do it. In my estimation.
No, so, I hear you.
Yeah, but like that thought pops in my head in terms of just like I could see us going there. I could see a move for that thing to be streamed.
I don't want it to happen.
I cannot think of.
I don't want it to happen, but I could see myself buying
in the history of the United States.
Yeah, I don't want it to happen, but I could see myself going and saying, I'll buy it. I'll watch it.
Having a party, like a fucking morbid, disgusting, like fucking execution party. But it's like, it's weird. Like I know. A perfect example is last year, Abby and I were at RhymeCon, and somebody got sentenced. It may have been Chad Daybell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like we were out on the floor of RhymeCon when that sentencing went down, when he was given the death penalty, and the entire con like was cheering at the top of their lungs. It was crazy. I think I was on with Joel from STS, and we were both kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is the world we live in where we're cheering for the death penalty, but it is the world that we live in. And
it is. And these are
very
vile.
Much an eye for an eye side.
It is. And these are vile creatures. I mean, if it is him, if he did do this, I'm no pity. Fine. Get rid of him. I don't care. But yeah, it is. It is weird. The kind of place that we're at. I completely agree with that. Let me ask you this, though, in closing, now that we know this publicly, I mean, they've known it, you know, obviously behind the scenes forever. It's been in discovery. And I think Ann Taylor has been trying to exhaust every option that she possibly can. It's her job and she's doing pretty good at that. But now we're like, OK, this stuff is coming out. He bought the knife. I mean, is this going to make it to trial? Is there any way that this wouldn't make it to trial at this point? Or might they come back and say, okay, well, maybe.
No. Look.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Tony, you got to look at it. She's known all this.
Yeah.
She's like, none of this. It's only a surprise to us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's none of this is new to Ann Taylor. She's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
She's a death penalty certified attorney.
Yeah.
She's doing her job with the utmost integrity. She's filing evering that needs to be filed in the case of this nature. She's a phenomenal attorney.
Yeah.
You know, and she's got an awfully, and the more that we're seeing, the more people should appreciate just how fucking hard this case is from a defense attorney's perspective.
Sure.
Like, people forget about that. People always like, you know, it's like the respect level for defense attorneys is growing on a daily basis as we see these cases where people start to understand why we matter, why we're so important to the system. You know, I mean, kind of the more just corruption that comes out between, you know, with cops, prosecutors, just understanding that they don't always get it right and that they just refuse to walk shit back and that we have rights as citizens and that defense attorneys are the ones who protect it. So I think she's done a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I think that she's protecting his rights. But as far as there's absolutely no benefit to her not going to trial.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and ultimately it's Brian Kohberger's choice, not hers.
Mm-hmm.
Like she can, of course, advise him, but like they're seeking the death penalty.
Yeah.
There's zero chance that they're not going to try to go to trial on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you got nothing to lose.
I mean,
if they took death penalty off and they're offering, you still have nothing to lose.
True. But I mean, do you see a world where they may throw that out there of saying, okay, death penalty off the table if you plead guilty and we can just end this now?
Well, yeah, I mean, like the X factor in that is that you have to hope that Brian Kohberger has the humanity to not put those parents through that fucking nightmare of a trial.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, that. Like, it all hinges on that one thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, because if he's got the humanity to say, you know what? You know, I've been sitting here now for 2 years and I've had an awful lot of time to think about this. I'm incredibly proud of what I've done, and I feel that the way that I can do it, you know, and Ann's going to be telling him, look, Brian, I this is not magic tongue, silver tongue thing where I go in and we just win this case. They have a lot of damage. Like, she knows everything that they have.
Yeah.
So she's having pragmatic conversations. Maybe.
Maybe.
With her client.
Yeah.
Depending on what his state of mind is.
Yeah. And is he receptive?
You know or that, depending that's the on thing. Whether or not he's willing to listen.
Yeah.
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 You know, I mean, so it's, you know, but like that, ultimately, whether or not this thing goes to trial depends on one person alone, and that's Brian Kohberger.
Yeah.
And the only way you're convincing him to take a plea is if he actually feels like giving some grace, with like the smallest form of grace that he has available to him, or actually probably the largest amount of grace he could give, is to not put those families through the torture of going through trial. You know, I mean, and like obviously that does nothing in their minds. But at least he spares them that.
And I think the answer to does he have humanity, if it's him, is answered in that picture.
Like, exactly.
Not holding my breath for humanity here at all.
He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.